Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode.
Getting good and being in front of a camera is a skill that you've got to have now. It is no longer acceptable that you're not learning to be good in front of a camera. That for some of us, 10% of us, me not included, we are just natural on being good in front of a camera. We're just blessed with the ability to be, you know, to be outgoing and fun and all of those things. But for me, that wasn't a, that's a learned skill, not a natural skill. And that's something I put a lot of time and energy and effort into, is learning to be comfortable in front of a camera, learning to be confident within my own skin and be comfortable with who I am. And like with everything in life, we face setbacks, we have ups and downs, but I still plow through it. And I want to get out there and I want to show people, what I want to show our community what's possible so that we can drive more patients to our practice.
We've been misled to believe that dentistry, more specifically the dental business, has to be complicated. Dentistry can be simple, and dentistry should be simple.
And good day, and welcome to the Dentistry Made Simple podcast. I'm your host, T-Bone, and I'm joined by the lovely and no longer pregnant Meredith Cooper-Jones. Meredith, how are you doing?
Hi, everyone. Good. How are you?
I'm good. So listen, this is what we're going to talk about this week. It's how to be a well-rounded associate dentist. Now, of course, this applies to more than just associates. It applies to every dentist and even every dental student. But I really want to talk about how to become a well-rounded dentist. A lot of times what we really focus a lot talking about the business owner and what they can do to control their career path. But oftentimes when you're an associate or you don't have complete control of everything. And I like to disagree. I always like to say you own your operatory. And this month, on this week's episode, I want to kind of talk about some things about your clinical education versus your non-clinical education. So that's kind of what we're going to cover this week. And before we do that, let's see what kind of things Meredith wants to sell to us.
Yeah, everyone, I don't have anything to sell. I want you all to leave us a review.
We need some reviews, for God's sake.
Yeah, so if you're listening to the podcast, if you come back week after week, if you enjoy the podcast, leave us a review, 5 stars, so we can give you a shout out, tell our friends about you, so we can get more listeners. Tell your friends, your classmates, your colleagues about us as well. But if you are looking to get into implant education, looking to, you know, get implants under your belt and start that within the practice, then we have one last chance to get our digital implant continuum tooth replacement therapy express week in October will be the last chance for this year. And then we will have dates released for 2024.
Yeah, you're in charge of that.
By the end of June. So that's exciting as well.
My job is to get in the way of the dates. Your job is to figure out how to put the dates out there.
I'll just tell you where you need to be with weekends.
Yes, please. And then I'll say, I can't do it.
I've decided I'm giving everyone a physical planner with the dates. Yeah. Where they need to be when. Yeah. So I can say that was in your planner.
I like Google Calendar personally.
I know. I have that for you. You have that though. That's easy for you.
All right, so let's get with this week's episode. We're going to talk about clinical versus non-clinical education. And obviously, before we get into the non-clinical stuff, let's talk about the clinical education. Look, here's my two cents. I always say, are you willing to do what I did to get there, right? And here's kind of been my success path, clinically speaking. I have focused on growing one skill each and every year. And that doesn't mean I go learn something new. That is, for the last 4 or 5 years, that has meant that I've gone deeper and deeper into implant dentistry because that's an area that I really have found a lot of passion in. And it fits where I'm at in my life, where I'm at clinically, where I'm trying to be business-wise. So I've gone really deep on implant skills and learning. But starting out of dental school, you know, I like to say that dental school gives you about 6 months of real education for when you get out and you hit your ceiling, maybe 12 months. But then after that, you got to start growing. And so clinically, we're all doing a really too good of a job learning the clinical skills. We get out there, we learn the skills, we go, I think you should take courses that are maybe a little bit broader, that cover more than just the clinical aspect of it, that focus on implementation, that kind of introduce some of the business concepts of those clinical skills so that you can kind of implement them in your practice, whether you're the owner or not. But clinical education is critically important because that's going to have a direct reflect on your earning power and your earning potential. Because as an associate or even as a owner of a practice, your ability to earn is directly related to your ability to produce, and your ability to produce is directly related to the skill set that you have. So continue down your path of clinical education. But what I'm seeing more and more, and especially now, because more and more dentists are associate dentists, you know, roughly 60 to 70% of all graduating seniors out of dental school join as an associate out of school. And that number when I was graduating was way smaller than that. And they've been taught to be clinical, clinical, clinical. And I want to talk a little bit about some of the non-clinical education that you should be focused on to help become a well-rounded associate or dentist for your life, your clinical career. So Meredith, lead us along here.
Yeah, so I think clinical is pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows, you know.
Where can they get good clinical education from?
Well, here at 3D Dentist. And there's lots of places you can get clinical education. Yeah. And that's pretty, I would say that's easy for people to choose because they are kind of drawn to what they want to do. Yeah. Either they want to learn sleep or I want to learn implants.
Or endo or third molars.
Right. So it's typically towards services that you are looking to provide within the practice. However, the biggest thing I hear when I talk to doctors that they're like, I've done lots of sleep courses or I've gone to the Dominican and placed lots of implants, but I can't get it implemented in my practice. Yeah. So what they're missing is the implementation process and a quick, like for example, our 4-step implementation of sleep apnea.
Right.
That's what's missing on some of the more scientific, sciencey,
the nerdy classes.
Where they dive a little bit deeper. That's a nicer way to put it.
The nerdies.
Where they dive a little bit deeper into the why of each clinical skill set. So I think the soft skills, sometimes it's within the clinical courses or it's on its own, is what people are missing or what they're maybe not missing, but what they want. They just don't know where to find it, but what they're looking for.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about soft skills and what I really mean by that. To me, the soft skills to me is about the culture, you know, understanding, creating a culture around your operatory, you know, because at the end of the day, let's say I'm an associate, I don't own my practice, but I'm working with an assistant and I'm going to create a culture of how me and this assistant work together, right?
Well, it leads to one, people wanting to work with you, wanting to be around you, and two, you coming to work and wanting to come to work every day, enjoying what you do, enjoying the people that you're with. People can either love it or they can hate it. Yeah. And you kind of,
I'm polarizing like that for sure.
But as the associate or as the doctor, you get to choose.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? And that kind of goes with another soft skill, which is overall leadership. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people say, well, I'm not the owner of a practice. I don't need to be a leader. And I couldn't disagree more. You know, being a great leader helps you get the most out of yourself, helps you get the most out of your team members, which in turn leads you to get the most out of your patients. So understanding and developing leadership skills is so, so important for the life of your career. And frankly speaking, good leadership skills really help you in your non-business life or your non-professional life and your personal life as well.
So I will say, as a assistant to associates within the practice, there were some I looked forward to coming to work every day, loved working with, and there were some that I despised coming to work with that I think that's when I went to you and looked for a change of role within the practice.
Which is good, I guess. It worked out for me. But so, so just to hear that. That's from an assistant from the practice that says there are some people I liked working with and I would, you know, run through a brick wall for them. And there's some people like, I didn't really care for them. And that's their leadership skill. That's the culture they bring. That's their demeanor. So we have to consistently work on our culture and leadership skills, no matter whether we're a business owner or not, because at the end of the day, we're leading people. We're leading our hygienist, we're leading our assistant, we're leading our operatory, whatever operatory you walk into as the quote-unquote doctor in that room, you're leading that room. So you need to work on those skills. Another soft skill that doesn't get enough attention is our ability to communicate. You know, we've got to learn how to communicate. And I think communication is a subset of leadership skills. Mm-hmm. But specifically here, I'm talking about our ability to communicate with team members and patients. You know, like you'll notice the difference. Like at the end of the visit, if you're working with me, I'll be very clear. This is what we want to do. Then here's the next step.
Right.
And sometimes with associate dentists, they're like, leave it to you to figure it out. Right. And you're like, well, what the hell am I supposed to do?
Yeah. So I always knew putting in notes after work, you know, we always did your notes when we worked with you, and we would always
still
put
do.
At
Somebody
the end,
does.
NV, like next visit, and make it clear.
Yeah.
So when you were assisting the next time and you were doing your tracker sheet or you were looking at your schedule a week out, a month out, 2 weeks out, you were able to see exactly what this appointment should entail. And sometimes working with an associate, they would do these notes and there would be no next visit.
Yeah.
So I almost think that was a little bit of a lack of communication and clarity on just in their notes. So sometimes it's not something or communication within, you know, the practice, it's also writing it down and being clear on your plan.
Yeah, so the other people that when they read the notes know what's going on. And then, of course, there's communication with patients. You know, how we're talking to patients, the confidence that we get. Are we saying, oh, I think, maybe, I kind of...
It could be.
Those aren't really confidence-building words, you know. We want you to be a little bit more succinct, less words. We want us to be a little bit more direct with kindness and empathy. But we want to be very clear with our patients about what we're doing. Another soft skill that I know we're not spending enough time and energy on is our ability to diagnose and treatment plan and sequence cases. And I know this because we just started a new program called 3DTP, which is our our digital dentistry version of treatment planning complex cases. And I know that people aren't spending enough time because we can put up 10 patients and, you know, certain eyes can look at the patient and see this is the opportunity and possibilities here. And so many of us are focused on treatment planning needs-based dentistry, and we forget about this whole concept of wants-based dentistry. And the want-based dentistry is really where the real growth in your practice is, the satisfaction in your practice is. It's really where the opportunity is in your practice. You know, don't get me wrong, we got to do needs-based dentistry, but at the end of the day, I think
the emotional dentistry is the fulfillment.
It's what gives me happiness.
Yeah.
You know, so there's not enough energy put in the soft skills. So you know, look, that's what we are really good at 3D Dentists is every program has some portion of soft skills in it. Okay, some of our programs are all soft skills driven. Mm-hmm. It's really about making you a better person, a better clinician, a better diagnostician, a better communicator, a better treatment planner, a better treatment sequencer, a better leader in your practice. But every program is designed to have an implementation and action plan, which are all the soft skills about how we're doing it in our practices. So that's kind of why we kind of bring that up. So what's next on our list?
Within these ways of becoming a well-rounded associate, you know, we've talked about the clinical versus non-clinical education, the soft skills, and then, you know, the technology would be something that a lot of associates are either, I want to say blessed with or not, is how they feel. But I mean, we've talked to associates who were like, I'm bringing my own scanner with me and I'll just take it with me when I go.
Yeah. So technology is important. You know, technology is the accelerator. And what I mean by that is when you really leverage technology and understand the purpose of technology, it's like pouring gasoline on a fire. It really can ignite your clinical career because technology should decrease the number of visits and the amount of time things take, which only buys you more time to do more dentistry, which is an unbelievable way to be more productive. Technology should also make it more achievable to have more predictable results, which who doesn't want more predictable results? Because the most expensive thing we have in dentistry are remakes and redos and seeing people for treatment that we're not getting paid for that we already got paid for. And then the other purpose of technology is to help drive down cost to the patients, but profitability to the practice, to the clinician. And so I really want us to be very purposeful in the technologies that we choose and understand that you've got to dive into the technology in your practice. You know, I harp on this with my own associate partners in the practice, is understand the technology. There's a reason I'm doing the things I'm doing is because I'm leveraging technology to get there. You know, whether that's understanding exocad, understanding CEREC, understanding milling, understanding all the materials and which material makes the most sense and what you can do with material, even down to the ability to stain and glaze anterior crown so that you don't have to send it to a lab and have back and forth remakes, that you can control that outcome right in your practice. Understanding digital impressions, that it's not just a doctor tool, but training your team members how to do that, training your hygienists how to do that, training your front office team members how to do that, your treatment coordinators how to use digital impressions, understanding CBCT, understanding how to be able to plan an implant in 30 seconds in front of a patient right in the hygiene chair or in the consult chair. These are examples of how we should leverage technology to really drive the growth of our clinical career, because leveraging technology for case acceptance is like gasoline on a fire. I keep saying it over and over again, but I don't think most of us are spending enough time and energy on really leveraging the technology. Most of us buy technology for one thing. We learn the basics and then we set it on cruise control. And what we're not seeing because we're in our own little bubble is we're not seeing all the cars, which are other dentists, passing us by because they're learning how to really drive their technology at a higher and faster level than you're learning it.
Yeah, so not only having the technology, but learning how to use it in all facets, because I think some people are just doing enough to get by.
Yeah, you know, that move to exocad for me was necessitated out of ego for me, but it's been one of the best moves I've made in my clinical career, because now I'm doing my own diagnostic wax-ups for whether it's a simple smile case, a full smile case, whether it's even just replacing one tooth with a flipper. You know, all of those things are with exocad, my implant guides, my surgical guides, night guards, my complex treatment planning. It's amazing that ego move I made of learning exocad has really enhanced my practice. It's unlocked printing. It's unlocking a 5-axis mill for us. And what I'm focused on now for the next year or two is really diving even deeper into learning exocad. And that goes back to our clinical skill. I got to grow a skill each year, but that doesn't mean I need to learn a new software. This means I got to go deeper into something I already have in my practice. So exocad has been an amazing move for us in our practice.
Yeah. So lastly, it would be kind of letting the people know what you do. And that would be the marketability of you as a provider in the practice.
Yeah. You know, and I talk about this a lot. I built my whole career on marketability as a dentist. You know, as a dental leader in the profession, I've always been on Dental Town or social media when that came out, to really be out there providing content like this podcast or sharing clinical cases or writing articles or writing blog posts, all those things to create a market, to make myself marketable to you as the dentist. But I've taken that same formula and I've applied it to my practice. You know, that was before, that was in a postcard marketing. You know, I marketed the marketable skills of myself. You know, I didn't market, here's a bullet list of all the things I do. I talked about how we make it, we do everything with less visits. We do things to address your fear with sedation. I marketed the things that people are looking for. And now with social media, you know, there's clinicians out there that literally their entire patient base are people that fly into them from all over the world or the country. And those same patients are passing by hundreds and thousands of dentists to get to somebody in particular. Now, I haven't built a practice by marketing to outside of my market area. I built a practice by being a go-to leader of the things I want to do. Like if you look at my social media from the practice, we're marketing implants, we're marketing sedation, we're marketing cosmetics, we're marketing sleep apnea. Those are the things that we're marketing because that's what we want to do more of. And getting good and being in front of a camera is a skill that you've got to have now. It is no longer acceptable that you're not learning to be good in front of a camera. That for some of us, 10% of us, me not included, we are just natural on being good in front of a camera. We're just blessed with the ability to be, you know, to be outgoing and fun and all of those things. But for me, that wasn't that's a learned skill, not a natural skill. And that's something I put a lot of time and energy and effort into, is learning to be comfortable in front of a camera, learning to be confident within my own skin and be comfortable with who I am. And like with everything in life, we face setbacks, we have ups and downs, but I still plow through it. And I want to get out there and I want to show people I want to show our community what's possible so that we can drive more patients to our practice. And whether you're the owner or whether you're the associate, you've got to drive your own business. You should never allow your success to be dependent on someone else. I want you to build your own brand, build your own marketability, build it so that people are looking to hire you because you're bringing the patients to your practice or you're standing out as the expert. Nothing would make me happier than to have a dentist in my practice that gets out there and brings the patients in so I don't have to, you know, I don't have to do it. Yeah, the pressure. So being marketable, you know, that's dressing well, that's good hygiene, that's, you know, maybe getting your nails done every once in a while, you know, that's wearing decent clothes. They don't have to be fancy clothes, but they have to be somewhat ironed or they can't be wrinkled. How about that?
Presentable.
Presentable.
And that goes for a treatment coordinator as well. We could do this on a treatment coordinator as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, all of those things matter. So that's kind of it. You know, the things that we focused on and being a great, well-rounded associate, the clinical education is surely there, but we're not putting enough time on the non-clinical education. And that's something you got to do every single year. You know, I just got off a mastermind call, and it's funny how we're working with some of these people for two years now. And I'm like, yeah, how are we doing with this? They're like, yeah, you know, I got to get better at that. And I'm like, yeah, because we got to revisit the foundations and these soft skills, this technology, the marketability. That's the foundation that really accelerates the clinical skills that you go and learn. So if we can be of help to you at 3D Dentist, we'd love to help you with your career. We'd love to help you through our mastermind program, our clinical programs, you know, our podcast, our online training. We got it all for you to make you a well-rounded dentist and really help you earn more money and enjoy dentistry more. So leave us a review so Meredith has something to read. And give you purpose. How about that? And we'll see everybody next week on the Dentistry Made Simple podcast.